you becoming a lawyer. You were setting up your law practice.
Yeah, right.
And you, what drew you to become the unemployment compensation commissioner?
Well, political, in terms of practice of law, and I think this is probably true all over the United States, but it's certainly true in the Northeast and true in Connecticut, that you inevitably drawn to politics. Very few, you know, one or two lawyer practices that were not somehow in politics or at the edge of politics. And so, also because of my own economic philosophy, furthering the liberal cause, I was obviously drawn to Democratic politics in the city, and there, in 1955, Ribicoff was elected for the first time in 54. One of the things that happened in terms of the labor support of the Democratic Party, Michael Sverdorf, who had been, along with John Driscoll, important in the CIO then in the labor movement. The CIO and the AFL had not yet joined, I don't think, in 55. I forget the date, but it came later, I think. And Ribicoff had promised them for labor support that they would have on any labor-impacted position in the government, that they would be consulted, the new labor movement would be consulted. Well, anyway, because of that, you know, John and Mike had a lot of influence, and so comes unemployment comp. That's when John thought it would be a good idea for me to be on unemployment comp commission, and I became on unemployment comp commission, but it was because of their influence. Mm-hmm. That's how that happened. And the unemployment comp commissioner was something that comes, as you know, out of the Social Security law and the title that permitted the states to have unemployment compensation with the federal government paying for administration of it, and the federal government laying down basic standards for the state unemployment compensation laws. In Connecticut, passed an unemployment compensation law in Connecticut, kind of use the model of their worker comp system to create the unemployment compensation appeals administration. Really, not the administration itself, was the Department of Labor pretty much following the kind of standards that all through the states are following all through the nation. But the appeals was a legal issue, the due process, the person having the right to appeal a denial. And that was what that unemployment job was. It was a quasi-judicial kind of position, part-time. I still could practice, which was an advantage, obviously. Well, apparently the pay wasn't enough to. So that was that. And then that ended in 71 after Mesko was elected in 1970. So that was the end of the of that job, but it's really part of the political, legal, liberal kind of what's the word I want that out of which that experience came, that came out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that because of that, and that's when the Democrats came back in, when Grasso was like 94, and there was a position then open in worker comp that was an easy step to do that. Well, worker comp was full time, and it meant, you know, the end of the practice as such, and you go into a position much closer to the judiciary, although I played with the idea of maybe looking for a Superior Court judgeship then, as long as only, but I didn't. I stayed with the comp and became chairman of the comp in 77. So that's how, that development really was part of the political picture. The power of labor, basically. That I don't know whether you've heard from anybody else about this pretty much pact that the Ribbentrop made in 54 with labor for its support, for the CIO support, basically, then. And that persisted, it persisted through pretty much the O'Neill administration. I don't know whether it's now dead or not, but then they have the LNCIO join, and they, so that any labor position in the government, labor would have been consulted on. That came out of the 1954. Ribbentrop, Spiridov. I mean, I think that, well, I guess John was pretty close. I think Spiridov was even closer to Ribbentrop than was John.